Greetings and salutations. We are here for our class on So You're Afraid of the Devil and Worried About the End Time. We've been talking about the wars, some of the wars that are in the Bible, but particularly we have started talking about the wars in the book of Revelation. And we're down to just about ready to get into the fourth example. The first example was war in heaven. And we saw that that didn't turn out so good for the devil, that the angels kind of took care of him and his angels. And then we had war with the Babylonian Confederate, and that didn't turn out so good either. And we had the earth helping out, and we had wings, and we had all kind of cool stuff going on. And it wasn't even God really intervening as God and going so far in any of them. And then we had war on earth, and we just finished that one last week. And before we get into the next example, let me see where I am here. Yes, we had war on earth, and that didn't turn out well for the enemy. One of the things that I've pointed out has been mostly our fears, the things that we've been taught or shown without a bigger picture or without a really good examination of the scriptures. And of course, there have been movies about it and everything. And most of those movies, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you just compare it with the book of Revelation, they're throwing in so much stuff that the Bible doesn't even mention. And it's usually running and hiding and trying to, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not trying to put down their artistic, creative influences into the Bible, but I just feel we should stick with the Word of God. All right. So, what I want us to look at here is in Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, starting with verse 4, this is a little bit of an interlude before the next war that I'm going to talk about. Okay? So, this little interlude is interesting because it's basically, what is it, two verses, and it's an interlude before the next war. So this is Revelation chapter 20, and what we are going to read is we are going to read all that the book of Revelation has to say about the millennium. Okay. And you know what the millennium is, right? Everybody knows the millennium. That is, Jesus is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. Okay. And, you know, a lot of Christians looking forward to the millennium, looking forward to it, looking forward to some peace, man. Looking forward to things to be a little more calm without that guy with the red horns and red tail, which he doesn't have, and it doesn't paint him that way, gets loose again or something. All right, so the millennium, verse 4. And it is 4, 5, and 6, so it's 3 verses. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So this is talking about strictly, this is the millennium now. It's strictly talking about, at this point, those who were beheaded during what we would call the tribulation. Okay. So maybe I should just read that again. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice, and they, not those who were raptured, but these beheaded ones who did pass through the tribulation, and they did, you know, they were killed, and now, you know, they're going to have to live with Jesus for 1,000 years and reign with him. With Christ until the 1,000 years were finished. It doesn't mention anything about the raptured people or whatever. But if we stick strictly with the book of Revelation, this is all that it's mentioning. Now listen, because it goes on here. still in part of verse 5. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead, because these were killed, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Wait a minute, are you saying I'm going to miss the millennium? I've been looking forward to that. I'm not saying that. It sounds like this is saying it. I'm just reading it. Okay. verse 5 again. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, meaning what's happened to the guys who died during the tribulation. But they didn't just die, they were given. Not time to get into all that. They were a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, just like Jesus. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. What? We're talking about, all we've said in two verses is that these souls that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which didn't worship the beast and didn't take his image and didn't get at the mark in their forehead or their hands, they're going to reign for Jesus for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead are not going to come around the millennium until the 1,000 years is finished. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. We're going, I thought by the time we got to the millennium, we're over with the deaths, the different deaths. I thought we were over with that. Well, blessed and holy is such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So basically, it sounds to me like that those that went through the tribulation and had their head cut off, it says, but they shall be priests unto God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right. So, I thought it was interesting that the big thing that people are waiting for and so much hoopla about the millennium only gets 3 verses. And he doesn't even talk about, you know, maybe some of us being there. and somebody's ruling and reigning with Christ, but it doesn't sound like it's us. It could well be, but you understand what I'm saying. And it's like, I'm reading this and going, that's all you're going to give us about the millennium? Yeah, Jesus and these guys. These particular guys. Maybe these precious, blessed and holy ones that had his spirit. And he decides, I want you guys, you're the only ones worthy to reign, because Jesus was worthy to reign based on Philippians chapter 2, And you could start with verse 1 and go all the way to verse 10 and there see that he's worthy to reign and was raised up high above all principalities and powers and, you know, demons and everything else and every name that is named, because he gave himself as a sacrifice instead of he just went around and beat up the devil, because he didn't. He allowed the devil through Judas and everybody else to, but they didn't murder him. He was not murdered. He was not, you know, I mean, see, a lot of people, when you talk about, you know, the great tribulation or whatever, well, I'm going to be murdered or whatever. No, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. Anyway. And again, I'm not saying that this is the, you know, I'm just telling you what the book of Revelation said. Because a lot of people have never read the book of Revelation when it comes to its exact things that it's saying about the millennium and what's going on. All right, so now, after taking away the big thing that you were looking forward to after this thing was all wrapped up, now we've got another war. It's called the war after the millennium. What? There's going to be a war after the millennium? I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that. Yeah, there is. And it's going to be for one main reason. God goes over and lets the devil loose. If he just kept him in there, there wouldn't be another war. What is God doing? What madness is this? All right, so let's look at verse 7, which these are the follow-up verses to the three we just read. I mean, don't you love it that the millennium just got three verses? I'm sorry. That's just crazy. And it doesn't go into, well, you're going to be really happy and everything's going to just go your way now and all this stuff. And, oh, there's the devil. How did he get back here? All right. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years was expired, oh, my God, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. So here we're going to have another war to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea, just like Abraham, except for these are the counterpart. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. All right. So here we go. The wars, you've got Satan's got his armies. Let me just read my little thought on verse 7 before we go on. It is important to notice that the devil doesn't break out. He doesn't break out of jail. But he's let go by God. Okay. Verse 8. After that, what does he do? Satan gathers a great war army, which are the same number that God promised Abraham. Okay, this is scary now. Because the devil's loose again. Oh no. Everybody's worried about the devil. God's got it all in control, but we're all worried about the devil. Oh no, the devil's loose. And not only that, he's convinced a whole lot of people, because this is after, once it's expired, there was another resurrection, if you will. Yeah. And it was a bunch of people. All right. So let's see. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Okay? So I wrote, the devil uses a military strategy of surrounding the enemy's camp. The wording leans toward the saints not actually being prepared for war. Devil is. What do you do when you are cut off from the resources that are outside the camp? Because that's what Satan did. Things such as food, water, weapons, reinforcements. Okay. So that's us. That's us. That's our thinking. That's why everybody's scared of everything. Especially, you know, the end time and whatever. Because they don't really understand God. They're, you know, the problem isn't, you know, that the devil is so powerful. The problem is we don't understand a God who would give himself on a cross. We just don't get that. We should. That's the main symbol of Christianity is a cross, not a little tomb that had a little stone rolled away. Look, he's risen. You know, no. He died. He gave himself as a sacrifice. All right. So, verse 9 again, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's a big battle here. This is a big battle here. We got the devil on the loose. After the millennium, this can't be good. Got all these people joined with him, Satan does. God doesn't even, there's no message from God. You know, stand still and see the salvation of God. Or it's almost like he didn't even wake them up if it was nighttime or something. They're asleep. Just let them sleep. This is not, they're not important to what is about to happen. You know. And if we wake them up, they'll just sit in there and fret and worry and go, oh no, what are we going to do? So they let them sleep. Now, it doesn't say that they were asleep. I'm just using that as an example. But anyway, that's what, you know. So they compassed the camp. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night. How long? Forever and ever. All right, so my comment on verse 10. Okay, I wrote, the devil will personally get another kind of fire because there was fire that destroyed all of them but didn't destroy the devil. But he did get a personal fire from God. It was like a gift. It's called the lake of fire, where his buddies are. All right. So it won't even come from heaven. His fire won't even come from heaven. He is cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. Okay, so you remember those guys, don't you? They were the ones everybody was freaking out about. Okay. And they weren't around for the millennium or the war after the millennium. The war after the millennium. I mean, anybody that's hearing this, anybody going, I didn't know there was going to be a war after. I didn't know that the millennium was going to be three verses. talking about the beast and the false prophet, those two probably thought the devil got out of it and were angry at him. And thought, okay, so the devil, you know, the devil gets out. And then maybe he goes and he gets the beast and he goes and gets the false prophet. And now it's the unholy Trinity, and they're going to come get us. Devil didn't get out. He didn't break out of prison. He didn't know how to get out. He's a fallen angel. Okay? He's a fallen angel. He can deceive his way through things, but there are no guards. He's just locked up by God, and God knows better than to listen to that stuff. He doesn't let us come look through the bars, because we'll listen to what he says. So he just keeps him locked up for 1,000 years. And then he says, well, let's try this. God does. Click, lets him loose. Let's see who's going to still be with me after, you know. Let's just see. All right. So I want to do one more thing, and that's Revelation 13, verse 2 through 4. And I'm particularly choosing these scriptures because they're in these verses. It'll be Revelation 13, 2 through 4, is probably the biggest declaration that scares everybody almost. Okay? So in it, we're going to get that declaration. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be scary. Okay? Revelation 13, verse 2, starting with 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Well, from what we've seen so far, God is able to make war with him and done pretty well. Right? It's just a saying. We've already gone through four wars and the devil never won. And was not only defeated, but very quickly and with little effort. Amen? So, we hear this, we read this, because what really gets us is, oh, the beast, and then he's like a leopard, but no, his feet are like a bear. Oh, his mouth is as a lion, and the dragon, the great red dragon, you know, the one that the angels kicked out of heaven. God didn't even get up and go do it. I'm sorry, but I'm just, you know. And the great red dragon gave him his power. Well, according to these wars, he's not very good at using this great power. And he gave him his seat and great authority. And he saw him get wounded, and then that deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, because there's so much power. We're going to deal with some of this power. We're going to get into all this beast stuff and everything. But anyway, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave him the power, and they worshiped the beast, and saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So we go, oh my God. Oh my God, by the way, we've already gone through these wars and mentioned what happened to the beast. Anybody remember that? It was just like, okay, they went and took him. You know, he brought his army, this vast army. And God was there with his army, Jesus on a white horse. And it says, and they took him. It doesn't even say he did it. It's like, okay, come over here. We're going to put you in jail, man. And then Jesus took care of the rest of them with the sword that proceeded out of his mouth. The rest of them that were on the Lord's side didn't lift one finger or have anything to worry about. And shame on us if we're just worried about every little thing without understanding our Lord, or much less reading the scriptures and going, you know what? I'm getting the feeling that there's something, there's a whole nother view of the Bible in the book of Revelation. So, who's able to make war with him? God is. I'm pretty sure God can handle it. God let him out. God let him out. God didn't let him out and go, I wonder if he's changed now. He didn't do that. That was not in God's mind. He wanted to see what had already passed. Now, the end of everything as we knew it, if you will, the world and living in the world in that way. Now it's the millennium, then it's this. Let's find out if there's still something in man's heart that can be pulled away, that don't really understand the one that they supposedly worship, which is the Lord. All right. So what I want to do next time, not tonight, is I want to go through these wars now, next week. I want to go through the wars, and I want to give you, let me just read it, a summary of the wars between God and the devil that we're talking about. I want to just give you a summary. And if you see all these wars and you see what the devil did, what God did, how it ended, who won, maybe you'll start being less fearful and more just with the Lord. Just your confidence isn't in yourself. If it's in you, no wonder you're worried. Don't worry. You say, what about those guys that got their heads cut off? Okay, then you need to worry. No, there's explanation for all that, and it wasn't horrible to them. In fact, it paid off. All right, so it's going to be fun to go through all of those and sum it up. And let's see. Sorry, let me just take it. Okay, so we'll just do that next week, and then we'll see where we go from there. Father, we just love you. We love your Son. We know that the devil is just a fallen angel. He's not God. That you are God, and you, if it was a true battle to see who had the most power, he doesn't have a chance, and we've seen that already. So, Father, help us to look into, by the eyes of the Spirit and through the eyes, the many eyes of the Lamb, begin to gain a new perspective, a new way of seeing, not just a new way of seeing because of Randy seeing it, but that we might see it with clarity and be with you now. Practice now to be able to live with you in any circumstance. We love you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Okay. Thank you guys for being on. I hope it's a blessing to you, and we'll see you next time, I guess. Bye-bye.